Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you here today, homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Steve Vaughn also in studio with us today. And Steve, we're heading out to Wichita, Kansas. Pretty excited about going to Wichita, Kansas here in about a week from now, visiting relatives. But also, Wichita, Kansas is the serial killer capital of the United States.
Yeah. That we're Tiller.
There's Tiller the Killer,
yeah.
And BTK.
Yeah.
The BTK guy. Both of them attended their ELCA churches faithfully. Apparently, they didn't get the repentance message.
Apparently
strongly.
Not. Yeah.
Yeah. Must not have been a lot of preaching, repenting of serial killer. That's one of the most amazing coincidences in the history of serial killing, that two serial killers wound up in the same ELCA denomination, Wichita, Kansas.
Yeah.
Now, I have not seen that you can buy T-shirts at the Wichita airport for, you know, Tiller and the BTK.
Yeah.
But Wichita is well known as the serial killer capital of the United States. I just want everybody to know that. And one more thing, PBS is doing a program Monday night called After Tiller, presenting a deeply humanizing and probing portrait of late-term abortionists. Okay, I wonder if Kermit's going to show up.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll do a little interview. Kermit's in prison, though. They'd have to get into prison to...
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
Wonder if they'll do a deeply humanizing and probing portrait of Kermit Gosnell.
I don't know. They probably could.
They could. Maybe that's part two.
Yeah, could be.
Think about the potential here. They could do Hitler. They could do a deeply humanizing, probing portrait of Hitler.
Manson.
Lots of possibilities.
Yeah.
Sure. You could do Dahmer before he repented.
Yeah.
Because that's no fun.
Of course, he's dead.
After he repents.
Yeah.
It's no fun.
We don't want to humanize anybody.
No.
You're an animal, Kevin.
No. You know, this reminds me a little bit of Capote. Remember Truman Capote?
Yeah.
It's a movie that came out, won a bunch of awards back in 2006, 2007 maybe. Truman Capote was a homosexual, a journalist, who presented a deeply humanizing perspective of axe murders, which was appropriate. A man who is committing certain abominations, you know, doing a deeply humanizing perspective on axe murders.
Yeah, he wrote
makes
In Cold
a lot of
Blood,
sense.
Too.
He did. Yeah. That was the book he wrote, and then it was put into a really, really disgusting movie called Capote, in which, again, presenting axe murders and homosexuals in a fairly decent light, deeply humanizing and probing portrait.
Yeah.
So, sad to see PBS is doing this, and of course, these are government dollars hard at work, again.
Yeah, the adding to the $16.6
billion. and the $2.9 million investigating obesity with lesbians.
Yeah. That's supposed to go until 2016. So
that study?
Yeah. So they're going to continue that.
Oh, no. Yeah. That's going to be...
I just read that, yeah.
That's going to be $18 million before it's done.
Oh, yeah, because it's doubling every year.
Yeah. Okay.
Just like...
Hi, friends. What in the world is going on in California? All health insurance now must cover abortion. There's been a little bit of debate over whether or not health insurance under Obamacare is going to cover abortion. Apparently, that's been put to bed in California. Health insurance companies in California may not refuse to cover the cost of abortion, state insurance officials have ruled. The decision is a reversal of policy stemming from the decision by two Catholic universities not to fund elective abortions through the employee health plans. Although the Federal Affordable Care Act does not compel employers to provide workers with health insurance that covers abortion, California's Department of Managed Health Care Director Michelle Rouillard said in a letter to seven insurance companies on Friday that the state constitution, the 1975 law, prohibits them from selling group plans that exclude the procedure. So California health insurance must cover abortion. Another reason to exempt yourself from Obamacare and health insurance.
Yes.
Another reason. I'm not telling people they've got to do this, but I encourage people who have a corporate health insurance plan not to use it. And to apply for Christian Medical Sharing Ministries like SamaritanMinistries.org.
Yeah.
Friends, I realize it's maybe an extra $350 a month. And if you have any option, if your company has, say, less than 100 employees, I believe it is, I think you do have the option to opt out of Obamacare and healthcare coverage. If that be the case, then tell your company that you're going with Christian Medical Sharing Ministries like SamaritanMinistries.org. I encourage you to do this. Why? Because I would rather not be killing my babies with the premiums I'm paying to my insurance company. That's my perspective. If I have an option not to kill a child, I will take the option not to kill the child. How about you, Steve? That, if you have option A, kill a child, option B, don't kill the child, which would you choose?
Option B.
You'd go for B. Good. Good. Yeah, friends, there's lots of reasons to go for SamaritanMinistries.org. We've been part of the program for now 16 years, and they've covered several of our problems. But friends, I'm much, much, much more supportive of Samaritan Ministry. Yesterday, my wife wrote the check to the person we're supposed to write the check to.
Yeah.
And she also wrote two other checks for, you know, a few other folks who apparently weren't covered by the premium this time around. For various reasons, sometimes their existing conditions or what have you. And yet we, you know, we will write a few other checks for families that need a little extra help along the way. And friends, way better. This sounds biblical.
Yeah.
this sounds biblical. It sounds
bearing
like
each other's burdens.
A really good way to bring about a voluntary, decentralized, Christian sharing approach to healthcare. And you're not killing babies to boot. That's a bonus.
Huge bonus. Yeah, we've been in the program for about 7-8 years now.
Okay.
And we just love it.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And friends, compared to the Obamacare requirements apparently are running anywhere between $20,000 to $25,000 a year for a family of four. And I know that number's sometimes higher, sometimes a little lower, but $20,000 to $25,000 a year for coverage for a family of four, make sure everybody's got their prophylactics, their contraceptions, and their abortion coverage. But hey, we pay something like $350 a year.
A month.
That's a month. I'm sorry, yeah. $350 a month, and that comes out to about $4,000 a year. That's what, 1/5, 1/7 of what Obamacare would require in terms of premiums for a family of four. And ours is a family of seven.
Yeah,
yours is a family of eight.
Yeah.
My guess is that that'd be upwards of $28,000-$30,000 a year of coverage for a family of eight under Obamacare. We're saving 1/7 of that. And or 6/7 of that, and if you save something like $20,000 a year in 15 years under Samaritan Ministries, that would be something of akin to $300,000 in savings on insurance premiums.
And I think I could do something with that.
Is significant. Yeah. You can buy a house. You can buy two houses with that.
Yeah.
Buy another house for one of your kids.
Yeah.
Man, I can't figure out why people don't check out SamaritanMinistries.org. It's time for Christians to come out from among them and be separate, especially when it comes to killing kids. I've written a book called Keep the Faith on Family, Sexuality, and Abortion. And friends, you need to read what the Church Father said about abortion. There, I think I have got 27 quotes on how wicked abortion, infanticide, and contraceptives that have abortifacient qualities is in the view of our Church Fathers. I don't think Church Fathers wrote on any issue as much as they wrote on abortion.
Wow.
At least when it comes to some of the early church fathers. Man, there is so much wisdom from the church fathers over a period of 1900 years on the issue of abortion, friends, that you have got to get my book, Keep the Faith on Family and Sexuality, to see the historical writings and the very strong directives concerning abortion. And by the way, abortion was a significant sin, according to the Council of Elvira, 306 AD. A church member who commits abortion. Now, I'm here and there are cars rolling into abortion clinics with fish symbols on the back window. Okay, that's not unusual today. If that happened in the early church, according to the Council of Elvira, the person who killed their baby willfully would be subjected to a lifelong probation from the Lord's Supper. That was a significant thing. It was the most significant sin of the day, according to early church councils. Friends, you need to read, you need to know the wisdom of our church fathers and the early church, all the way through Martin Luther, John Calvin. These guys had much to say about it. And friends, all of this available in a brand new hardback, little hardback called Keep the Faith on Family and Sexuality. We have literally hundreds, I think 300 quotes from church fathers throughout a period of 2,000 years on issues like abortion, homosexuality, and divorce. Well, we're going to take a break. And when we get back, we'll share more on the issue of abortion and feminism, friends. These things are intrinsically linked. We'll be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Zones.
For thousands of years, families would work together in the fields in a family economy. Little boys would plow the fields next to dad, and everybody would help with harvest. Pickin' time. Well, now youth unemployment and underemployment rates stand at 80%, double what it was in 2001, two recessions ago. Unemployment and underemployment for college graduates exceeds 50%. And 70% of young men are not grown up by 30 years of age, up from 30% in 1970. Back in 1930, 70% of 15-year-old boys were still working on the family farms. Now they play computer games until they're 30 years old. No, make that 35. The family economy has virtually disappeared in the last 50 years, but we're bringing it back. Generations with Vision is sponsoring family economics conferences all over the country. In 2014, we're sponsoring conferences in Denver and Kansas City, Missouri. We're getting together with thousands of families to talk about family integrated economies, mentoring your sons and daughters in business, and trusting God to provide the increase. Register today at FamilyEconomics.com.
Back on the Generations Radio broadcast, Kevin Swanson here, your host. Also, friends, today we're looking at the issue of abortion, how it is continuing to spread across America. And granted, the surgical abortions have decreased somewhat since the 1980s and 1990s, but the increased use of the Plan B pill has taken this thing exponential. According to Planned Parenthood's 2012-2013 annual report, that organization alone provides 1.6 million emergency contraception kits, compared to 327,000 abortions. That's a ratio of 5-1, which means that Americans are choosing the early chemical abortions over the messier surgical methods by a long shot. Maybe they're getting quote-unquote smarter about it. But whatever the case, lots and lots of abortions. Personally, I think Jesus is just as concerned about that tiny 46-chromosome-laden ovum traveling up the fallopian tube as he is with a child nursing at his mother's breasts. I think Jesus understands and knows exactly how many children have been killed by the Plan B pill or by the RU-486 pill, as have been killed by surgical abortions.
As well as IUDs, because that does the same thing.
That's a big one. That's a big one. And my understanding is that the more effective forms of birth control are being used today, which means that these silent abortions are happening at a higher frequency than they used to, which means that Americans feel like they're doing better, but they're killing more kids than ever. My estimation is between 2 billion and 7 billion kids have been killed worldwide since the 1960s, and that's based on my World Bank data I collected several weeks ago. Number of birth implosions around the world happening in something like 213 nations around the world, only 10 nations have seen just ever slight increases in birth rates since 1960. Friends, all these statistics available in my book, Keep the Faith, Part 2 on Family, Sexuality, and Abortion. You need to get a copy of it to understand what our church fathers said about these sorts of things and what has happened in the modern Holocaust, which probably is the most significant slaughter of human beings in the history of the world, numbers-wise. Okay, well, let's move on to an article from frontpagemag.com because this ties into the abortion nightmare that began in the 1960s. This article is written by Mallory Millett. She resides in New York City. She's the CFO for several corporations, a longstanding member of the David Horowitz Freedom Center, and sits on the Board of Regents for the Center for Security Policy. And so she's an important person. Okay. Yeah. Now, I don't know if she's a Christian or not, but she's got some interesting things to say. I'm going to read these things. If you want to see the whole article, it's frontpagemag.com. But here's what she says. Starts with Winston Churchill. Socialism is philosophy of failure, the creed of ignorance, the gospel of envy. Its inherent virtue is the equal sharing of misery. That's Churchill about socialism. Was not yeah. Obviously hot, not hot on socialism. And this, again, is Mallory Millett. And she writes on feminism here and what had happened in her own life. During my junior year in high school, the nuns at the school asked about our plans for after we graduated. When I said I was going to state university, I noticed their disappointment. I asked my favorite nun, why so disappointed? She answered, that means you'll leave 4 years later a communist and an atheist. What a giggle we girls had over that. How ridiculously unsophisticated these nuns are, we thought. Then we went to the university and 4 years later walked out a communist and an atheist.
Just like she said.
Just as my sister Katie had 6 years before me. Well, apparently Katie got her involved in communism. She encouraged her to join into a consciousness raising group, a typical communist exercise, something practiced in Maoist China. And this was the litany. You want to hear the litany? She says it's actually reminiscent of the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Here's the litany. You want to hear the litany?
Let's do it.
Okay, here it is. Why are we here today? Asked the leader, chairperson. Why are we here today? To make a revolution, we all answered. What kind of revolution, she replied. The cultural revolution, we chanted. And how do we make cultural revolution, she demanded. By destroying the American family, we answered. How do we destroy the Christian family, or the American family, she came back. By destroying the American patriarch, they cried exuberantly. And how do we destroy the American patriarch, she asked. By taking away his power. How do we do that? By destroying monogamy, they shouted. How can we destroy monogamy? By promoting promiscuity, eroticism, prostitution, homosexuality, they resounded.
Wow.
They proceeded with a long discussion how to advance these goals by establishing the National Organization of Women. Yep. And those are the roots of NOW. And apparently Mallory Millett was there in 1969. So a little history for you.
Yeah.
So anyway, she goes on and on about socialism, how evil socialism is. Women's studies professors, finish with your daughter. She will be a shell of the innocent girl you knew, who's soon convinced that although she should be flopping down with every boy she fancies, she should not by any means get pregnant. So as a practitioner of promiscuity, she became a wizard of prevention techniques, especially abortion. The goal of women's liberation is to wear each female down to losing all empathy for boys, men's, or babies. The tenderest aspects of her soul are roughened into a rock pile of cynicism where she will think nothing of murdering her baby in the warm, protective nest of her little girl womb. And she goes on and on. She obviously connects birth control. The abortifacient kinds are about the most effective with abortion and with the women's rights movement. At the end of the article, this is what she says, and I insist that women always have been the arbiter of society, and when those women at Lila Karp's table in Greenwich Village set their minds to destroying the American family by talking young women to being outlaws, perpetrators of infanticide, and haters of Western law, men, and marriage, they accomplished just what they intended. Their desire, and I witnessed it at subsequent meetings till I got pretty sick of their unbridled hate, was to tear American society apart along with the family and the quote-unquote patriarchal slave master, the American husband. Now she says, we are all so busy congratulating each other because Ronald Reagan won the Cold War without firing a shot entirely, missing the bare truth, which is that Mao, with his little red book, Soviets won the Cold War without firing a shot by taking over our women, our young, and the minds of everyone tutored by Noam Chomsky and the textbooks of Howard Zinn. I'm sure she was referring to the fact that the majority of single women vote for Barack Obama.
Right.
And this is the way you establish socialist totalitarianism in America, by dissolving the American family, by destroying the family economy, by individuating each individual in the family, and being sure that every woman in America is individuated and independent of the family so that she will vote for Barack Obama or some communist in the year 2024. So that's what she says effectively in this article. You know, it's interesting as we back up to this, how do you destroy the American family, the Cultural Revolution? How do you destroy the family by destroying the American patriarch? How do you destroy the American patriarch by taking away his power? How do you destroy that by destroying monogamy? How do you destroy monogamy by promoting promiscuity, eroticism, prostitution, homosexuality? Two questions they forgot to ask is, why do you want to destroy, or why do you want a cultural revolution? And the reason, the ultimate reason why they wanted a cultural revolution was to destroy society. Now, the second question they forgot to ask was, why do you want to destroy society? And and the final answer is this, why do you want to destroy society? Why the feminism? Why the homosexuality? Why the dissolution of the family economy? Why the destruction of the American father? Why all of this? Because they wanted to destroy society. Okay? Now, why do you want to destroy society? Why would anybody want to destroy society? This is a kind of a bad thing to do. The reason is because Karl Marx called himself the destroyer.
Right.
In his poetry and his prose. And associated himself with Satan, and probably himself was possessed by Satan. And Apollyon in the Bible is the word for Satan is Apollyon, and the word Apollyon means
destroyer. Yeah,
that's right. So this is the one piece that most of these people don't understand is the reason for feminism, The reason for destroying the American father, the reason for increasing promiscuity and being sure that there is no real accountability going on between parents and their daughters who are dating, and being sure that the average woman in America understands herself to be completely economically independent of father and husband. The reason for all of that is that you want to destroy society. And the reason you want to destroy society is because Marx called himself a destroyer and said that his goal was to destroy all of mankind and human society. Now, you'll read that in my book, Apostate. I'm just quoting Marx, and you'll find it on Marxist.org. So this isn't anything anybody's hidden from anybody. It's obvious to anybody who wants to read the agenda and know the agenda. Friends, you need to understand that Marxism, egalitarianism, socialism, and feminism all rooted in Marx's agenda to destroy human society off the face of the earth. So I don't think it's any exaggeration, Steve, to say that we're here to salvage human society.
Oh, yeah.
We're here to bring a distinctively biblical world and life view to bear and apply biblical principles to the area of family, sexuality, abortion, etc., etc. And I talk about these things in my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, but a more constructive book that I think would be even more helpful, Keep the Faith, Volume 2, on family and sexuality. Now, I know it's a risk to talk down feminism on this radio program. That's how we get in more trouble than anything else.
Yeah.
But that's because it's infiltrated all over the place. It's everywhere in the Christian church today. And you'll have a hard time finding somebody like John MacArthur preaching against it. And we've referred to John MacArthur preaching against the problem of feminism in the 1990s. But my guess, if he tried preaching against it today, it'd be far more unpopular than it was in the 1990s when he brought those early messages against the rising trend of feminism. Feminism has all but enveloped evangelicalism today, and nobody really wants to talk about it. You know, I would love to find a woman with guts, somebody like Mallory Millett, who's written this article in frontpagemag.com. By the way, she got 116 comments, not of all of which were positive. But isn't that refreshing?
Yeah.
Find Mallory Millett, who's got some guts to stand up. Wouldn't it be wonderful to find a woman out there with the guts to stand up and speak against the very things that are destroying human society off of planet Earth? So maybe somebody who's been there, done that, they've seen it, and they say, this is bankrupt. This is a loser system. And this idea of destroying the complementarianism between the man and the woman in the marriage, in the family economy, is utterly destructive. Wouldn't it be wonderful to find somebody out there, a woman out there, who's willing to take a stand against feminism?
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, very few websites now are willing to take a stand against feminism. Most of the websites are pro-feminism. So if you know anybody out there who's got the guts, a woman out there has got the guts to stand up against the feminism spoken of by Mallory Millett in this frontpagemag.com article called Marxist Feminism's Ruined Lives. Okay, if you know somebody who'd be willing to come on the air with me and discuss the utter ruin of feminism in the last 30, 40 years of American history, let us know. Email me at host@kevinswanson.com.
There are some major problems with feminism as well, because it actually hurts themselves. I found a blog here from a woman named Chrissy Stockton, and she writes an article, and this was just from March of this year, March 25th of 2014, says, Four Ways Feminism Has Harmed Women. It, first of all, makes them out to be victims.
Okay.
And she says that we're victims of, quote unquote, the patriarchy. They're victims of the rape culture. They're victims of themselves because they're self-hating women. And she's saying, I've always wondered how exactly this is supposed to help women. Mm-hmm. She says, I'm a woman. I'm not a victim. I've never been a victim. I don't need feminism to tell me that the world is out to get me.
Okay, yeah, so, that's not Steve Vaughn.
No.
That's somebody named Chrissy online.
Yeah.
Okay. And granted, there are a few people out there who are willing to say, hey, the damage has been done. It's happened in my own life. And I think that's what makes this frontpagemag.com article so important. Mallory Millett complains of Marxist feminism's ruined lives. Apparently, you know, she says it's ruined her life to some extent. On the front end of it, she got a divorce apparently early on. And so she saw the damage done by feminism. I just think there ought to be more women standing up and saying, hey, here's what feminism teaches. And this is why they're wrong, and this is the damage they do.
Yeah.
We need to see more of this out there, Steve. Now, granted, we need to get back into Scripture and identify the roles of men and women, because this ultimately is the issue. And this is another section of my book, Keep the Faith, on Family and Sexuality. As it turns out, I dedicated one entire section of the book to the roles of women and men in the marriage. And it is shocking to me to see that all the way back from Augustine, Chrysostom, Clement, Irenaeus, Tertullian, and into, you know, Martin Luther, John Calvin, Matthew Henry, Matthew Poole, you find almost without exception, and I couldn't find an exception, in which the church fathers for 1900 years continue to affirm Paul's encouragement that women be oikos despotaos in the home, and men be primarily responsible for the material well-being of the home. That, my friends, is 1900 years of testimony from people who were even wiser and more righteous and less demon-possessed than Karl Marx.
Yeah, we saw strong families. We saw, you know, strong men, and women that this were strong is, women. This, it was unity.
This is
together.
How Western civilization was built. Let's get back to the roots. You say, we're watching it being destroyed piece by piece. The family is being destroyed. Freedom's coming down. 64% of millennial women having children out of wedlock. This thing, the wheels are coming off of this thing. So what's the solution? We'll try 1900 years of Christian influence in the Western world. And get my book, Keep the Faith, Volume 2, on Family and Sexuality, available at our website, kevinswanson.com. Also, you want to get a good sense for what happened in the destruction of the Christian West, buy a copy of my book, Apostate, at the same website, kevinswanson.com or generationswithvision.com. You can interact with the program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.